We have in this week's parasha the whole Melchemes Amalek. Amalek comes to attack Klal Yisrael. The pasuk says, "Vayavo Amalek vayilachim im Yisrael berfidim." That Amalek came and they waged war with Klal Yisrael in Refidim. If you take a look at the Chizkuni that I have on the Mar Makom sheet, on Vayilachim and Yisrael Berfidim, says this is going to be Nei Sinas Mechiras HaBechora, because of the sinna that Amalek had because of the Mechira of the Bechor, that Esav sold to Yaakov. Aval Mikodem Lachen Yisyara Lizdavig Aleihem, but before this point, Amalek was afraid to wage war against Klal Yisrael. Shelo yehei muto aleihem priyash shtar hachov shel vavodim v'inu osam arba meyoshana. Because he didn't want to be subjected, and if you take a look at the Das HaKinim, he sort of spells this out, that Amalek had a dilemma. Because he was, so to speak, given over. He was, Amalek was the grandson of Esav. I think Eliphaz, I think, was his father. And he inherited the Tzivui to take revenge against Yaakov. And Amalek didn't do this earlier. You see the Das HaKinim spells out the question, Lama Icher Lilachim Yisrael Arachshav. Why is he first waging war against Klal Yisrael now? They should have done it earlier. It even would have been advantageous to wipe out Klal Yisrael earlier, because there are only 70. Klal Yisrael only numbered 70 when they came down from Mitzrayim. Seems like much better to wage war against 70 than against the whole nation. He had 600,000 men between 20 and 60, not counting the women, not counting the children. So millions. So it seems like an easier war to wage against 70 people than millions of people. So why do you wait until now? So it seems that the teretz is that Amalek made a cheshbon. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that at some point, Klal Yisrael is going to have to go into Sheba Mitzrayim for 400 years. When Avram died, that was passed on to Yitzchak. When Yitzchak died, it was passed on to Yaakov and Esav. And Esav figures, if I wipe out, and Das HaKinim spells this out, the Farish, if I kill out Yaakov, says Eliphaz, says Amalek, if I kill out Yaakov, then I now inherit the promise that B'nai Yitzchak have to go into Sheba Mitzrayim for 400 years. I don't want to be a slave for 400 years. I don't want to have that. I know exactly the shot. He lived 400 years. I know exactly what that shot meant. That's why Eliphaz didn't do it. I don't know. But he didn't want to inherit that Tzivui. So therefore, he figures, let me wait until after the Sheba Mitzrayim is over. And now that the Sheba Mitzrayim is over, the Mamish got past the Yamsuf immediately by Yovel Amalek. That's shot right now why Amalek came. So just, you know, to speak about that, of all the military blunders in the history of the world, here you have a military strategist, you know, he's trying to figure out when he should wage war. Okay? And what guides him? Because there's a tzivui from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem made a promise to Avraham Avinu. There's that much emunah they had that the tzivui is going to be kept. Avraham passed it on to Yitzchak. Yitzchak passed it on to his children, Yaakov and Esav. And if I tamper with B'nai Yaakov, then I'm going to have to be in Sheba Mitzrayim. So he holds off. And then they presumably hear about the Esar Makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, everything that's going on. Obviously, this is not some fluke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to take them out of Mitzrayim, the Nisim, the flows. Can you imagine what the Mitzrayim tried to do to the Bnei Yisrael when they're in Mitzrayim? Terrible, horrific, murderous engagement, torture for Klal Yisrael, Shiva Mitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes them out. And what happens? They wage war against Klal Yisrael, and this whole war wasn't a fluke either. This whole war against Amalek was al pi adibur. The Rashi threw out of order from the other psukim, but the Rashi says this whole thing was al pi adibur. And it's only through al pi adibur that there was a tzivui to leave over some of the Amalekim, to leave over some. But otherwise, if not for that prat, they all would have been wiped out right here. So here they're waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years, waiting for the perfect opportunity, and now we can attack, and now we get obliterated. So, and this was all based on the sinner, because he makes a point of it over here with his kuni. The sinner that Esav has to Yaakov, however you touch that up. But here you see the sinner, mekalkelus hashur, because the sinner, the hatred, just it kind of moves and distorts the thinking. I mean, you didn't do it because there was a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to Avraham Avinu. So what do you think is going on over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. You know, there's a plan over here. Well, what's going on? Look at the nisim and the flows that took place. This is a people with a. There's a mission here. There's a goal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just taking them out to be killed out by you. You could see it. Lefar, I think, is that they're here in Sinem Mekalkelus Hashur. They're waiting, and Mamish, they wait for hundreds and hundreds of years for the perfect time. Oh, now we have it. Mamish, the whole nation got wiped out. It doesn't make sense from a pure military strategy. It doesn't make sense. You didn't do it earlier, okay? And you also see like they had a certain emunah bitachon that the bris would be kept. So what happened to that? They had a emunah, didn't have a emunah. They thought they could outsmart or outdo or not trust in Ashtacha Pratis or whatever. I don't know what level they were on, but lechor, if they trusted in that, they should have trusted here also that it's not the nation you should be starting up with. No other nation of it. Every other nation realized you shouldn't do it. Amalek was the only one. So you see, sinem mekalkelus hashur. You can't think straight. In fact, it distorts. You don't realize it's distorted, but it's the whole thinking is distorted. It made no sense to attack Klal Yisrael over here. That's the first point. Then during these Milchama against Amalek. So it says, Pasuk Yudbeis, Videi Moshe Kvedim. And Moshe's hands were heavy. Vayichu Evan v'yasibu tachta v'yishula. They took a stone and they put it underneath his hands. Now what's pshat v'day Moshe kvedim? I'm sorry, I don't have the Rashi quoted on the Marmakoma sheet, but the Rashi says, why were Moshe's hands so heavy, couldn't keep them up? And obviously his hands were up, and Klal Yisrael would be victorious in their battles, and when their hands went down, they weren't. That was a simon that their focus was on the bitachon b'Hashem. The Rashi says, "Bishvil shenis atzel b'mitzvah." Why did his hands become so heavy? He couldn't keep them up. It was an onish because he was nis atzel b'mitzvah. Moshe was lazy in performing this mitzvah. Umina acher tachtav. He appointed somebody else in his stead. So nis yaku yadav. So his hands became heavy. What did he do? What did Moshe do so terrible? Because after it says that Amalek came, the pasuk says, "Vayom Moshe Yeshua, v'char lanu anoshim." Moshe told Yeshua to take people, tzaddikim, and go fight a Molech. Machar noki nitzav, I'll go and I'll daven. I'll daven for you. So Moshe's hands were heavy because it was like a shtickel onish. Shtickel onish. It wasn't onish because he was misato. Now what was the atlas that Moshe did? So if you take a look at the Gur Aryeh, it says as follows. Umona Acher Tachto. He pointed somebody else instead of him. What's going on, Rashi? Even Tomar. V'loma mona Moshe Acher Tachto. Why did Moshe Taka point Yeshua? Vukasha. Why did Moshe do it himself? V'yeshlomar K'moshe Amru Chazal. V'yomer Moshe Yeshua. Moshe spoke to Yeshua to appoint him to fight the war against the Amalek. The Fishu Mizera Shel Yosef. Because Yeshua was from Zera of Yosef. The Ksiv from Binyamin. The Ksiv Vahaya Beis Yaakov Eish is a pasuk in Ovadia which says Vahaya Beis Yaakov Eish. Beis Yaakov is compared to a fire. U Beis Yosef lava and the house of Yosef is compared to a flame. U Beis Esav Lakash. And the house of Esav was the straw. The Mela, the house of Yosef, will be the flame to burn Esav. Va'amolek mizera Esav. And Amolek was from Zera Esav. Lekach mona es Yoshua. That's why Moshe appointed Yoshua. Va'afilu hachi, nevertheless, even the low Haya hu yotil mochama hu ba'atzmo. Since he himself did not go out to war, lo haya lo laniach es acher. He should not have left someone else to do it. Haya atzel, and Moshe was an atzel. Nisyaku gam ken yadav bayu atzelim. So he also, therefore. His hands, Amidah Keneged Amidah, since he was an Atzel, so his hands, so to speak, also were Atzelim, they couldn't stay up. They couldn't stay up. One more point, I'll just make my point. In the Pasuk which says, in Pasuk Tes, Machar Noki Nitzav Al Rosh HaGivah, that Moshe Rabbeinu said that I'm going to daven for you at the top of the hill, Matei Elokim B'Yodi. So I forgot which one of the Achronim here say, but I don't have it here. That why did Moshe say that? He wanted to be Mizariz Yoshua. He wanted Mizariz Yoshua so that he should know that Moshe is davening for him. Okay, so let's think about this for a second. Moshe has a very good reason why he's appointing Yoshua to fight the battle with Amalek. Seems like a pretty good reason. Because the Pasuk in Ovadia, that Esav is going to be consumed by Bnei Yosef, the Nevuah. And Yoshua is from Shevet Yosef, from Binyamin. And for whatever reason, there's a certain predominance that the children of Rachel would have over Esav more than the others. So he rightfully chose Yoshua to go fight the war against Esav, against Amalek. And he throws in there to be Mizariz Yoshua to make sure it's done. But in the whole process, Moshe is, there's some atzlus in there. He's punished because of the atzlus shabo. Now here you have Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, preparing for war. He seems to have, you know, a great good cheshbon. Knows Moshe analyzed who should go fight this war. You know, he knows the rule. You know, goes, you know, mitzvah bo yosef v'shlucho. He knows that, but he has a cheshbon here. What's his cheshbon? His cheshbon is that it's better if Yeshua go fights the war. It's better for Klal Yisrael that Yeshua goes to fight than Nevuah. So in him analyzing himself, he detected no atzlus. Not because of atzlus. It's only because I want to wage war and we want Klal Yisrael to be victorious over Esav, over Amalek, and it has to be from Shevet Yosef. So I have to ask Yeshua. Any atzlus there? No atzlus. And yet he's punished because there was some atzlus there. Moshe Rabbeinu could not detect the atzlus. I was blown away. If you look at the other sheets, you don't have to go through all of them, but he brings down 18 different reasons why Yeshua had to be chosen. 18. You can go through each one the separate reason, and lechora they're not mechulik with each other. It's not like, you know, Yeshlomar slugs up that one. I assume to an extent, all of them to an extent were true. You know, not one slugged up over the other. He had 18 reasons. One of them being that what the Guraya brings down. That Moshe himself should have gone. Why didn't he go? And let's even presume that it ultimately was the right decision, but it wasn't right that there should have been no atlas there. Part of the cheshbon that Moshe chose Yoshua, part of that cheshbon was atlas. There was some atlas there. So we see even someone like Moshe Rabbeinu, a pretty high madriga, who probably, if he wants to do, you know, have a Musa Seder, he goes through it to detect whether or not there's any atzlus there. He missed this atzlus, evidently. He missed it. Who knows? I know, we don't know. Who knows if the cheshbon would have changed had he detected there was some atzlus? Maybe his going would have overwhelmed. I don't know. It doesn't say that. I'm not suggesting that had this atzlus not been there, then maybe he would have gone himself. We don't know. It could be he was just being punished here because he shouldn't have had any atzlus. There was also some atzlus there. I don't know. I'm not suggesting that. It's possible. It's possible to say such a thing. But how important it is for us, Koshkein, to try and analyze in our thinking why we do things, could totally miss the cheshbon. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't detect it. And you see how ironic it is, because why is he going to Davin? He tells Yeshua, I'm going to go Davin there, because he wants to make sure that Yeshua has the proper Zrizus. He's trying to mizariz Yeshua at the same time that he himself is exhibiting atlas. Mamish, you know, the two opposites come together. While he's trying to mizariz Yeshua, he's exhibiting atlas. It's mamish. You know, you see how easy it is to miss something. And we're sure that we mean it this way, but how obligatory it is for us to think through, and that when we learn our Musar, to think through what's driving us. Why are we doing this? Are you sure it's for this reason? Maybe it's not for this reason. Maybe there's really something else going on. Who knows what? Kina, hundreds of different items that could spur a person to doing something. And even at the time when he's mamish exhibiting the opposite, I'm doing something which is so self-sacrifice. Maybe Moshe would say, I want to do the mitzvah himself. I'm, for the sake of Klal Yisrael, I'm choosing Yeshua. I'm mizariz Yeshua properly all the time while he's experiencing atzlus. So how important it is for us to think through make the proper decision why we're doing things.